Some people ask me why I'm so happy, even when sorrows press on. They see me laughing while the storm's raging. They wonder where I get my song. But they cannot see the trouble I faced not so very long ago. Well, to comprehend this joy that's within, there's something they need to know.
Woo!
Well, I've been saved from the flames of a hot burning fire, lifted from the tempest as the waves grew higher, sheltered from a desert dusty and dry.
Woo!
I was given a drink of water when I thought I would die. Delivered from the danger of a dark lion's den. Given new life in exchange for my sin. Set free, forgiven, I've been born again. My brother, I have been rescued. Well, I used to feel trouble. My sorrows were doubled as the burdens of life held me down. I was defeated till I saw what I needed, then His tender mercy I found. And though life is rough, I'm not giving up. Even when I'm tested and I'm tried, I'll not waste time doubting. I'm gonna go on shouting. I cross to the winning side. Well, I've been saved.
I like that. I've crossed to the winning side.
From the tempest.
Hallelujah. Somebody praise Him. Would you praise Him? Raise your hands and love on Him a minute. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We are blessed people. We are blessed.
Woo!
Hallelujah. 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 I hate to cut that off, but I'll be back to it at the end of this program. What a joy. What a joy. What a joy. I hope you feel as much joy as I feel. Hallelujah. I'm not kidding you. I feel joy today. The biblical golden kingdom is the subject at hand. The biblical golden kingdom. Oh, there are people all over this globe, all kinds of organizations. They think they can set up a biblical kingdom, a one world order, a one world theocracy. Oh, my friends, that's God's business. That's God's business. That's the business of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I'm writing a book on the life of Apostle Paul, and it's going to be a breathtaker. I really believe that. I don't doubt it. One thing I learned, Apostle Paul was so schooled in the Judaic teaching of that Old Testament. They believed that the Jewish people, with their Messiah, was going to set up a kingdom. And Saul, when this Jesus interrupted all of that, he went bananas. I mean, he was going to destroy that movement of the Jesus movement, that new Christianity. He didn't know. He was all wrong. It wasn't the Jewish economy of the Old Testament was going to set up that kingdom. It was Jesus, the Son of God, who died on the cross. There had to be a period, though, of the church age. Paul didn't see that until he was converted. But once he was converted, he saw it, and it became completely possessing of him. I mean, really. Now, the biblical golden kingdom is still in the future. There's got to be a rapture. There's got to be an Antichrist. There's got to be a seven-year judgment period. There's got to be a wonderful moment of Jesus returning to fight the battle of Armageddon. Then he goes to Jerusalem, and he's going to set up a kingdom, and we're going to be there. The church of Jesus Christ is going to be there, and Jesus is going to rule this earth, and there's going to be a biblical golden kingdom. Do you understand that? There's going to be a biblical golden kingdom. No doubt about it. It's coming, and I can hardly wait for it. A biblical golden kingdom. A biblical golden kingdom. Now, Brother Chambers, where do you get that in the Bible? Is that truly a biblical picture? Well, it really is. Now, it is seen most clearly in the Old Testament. because it was a promise that the Lord had on his great plans and his great schemes of things. But it wasn't something that Israel as a nation was going to establish when their Messiah come. They never accepted the Messiah because they wanted a kingdom on earth. But Jesus came to build a kingdom in the spiritual realm and to establish a one-world church. And well, not a one-world church. I shouldn't say it that way. It might be seen. But a kingdom of God's people who would preach his gospel and win souls all over the earth. And the day would come then when Jesus would return. And then he would set up the kingdom. Now, the Catholic Church did their best to set up one, and the Dark Ages came about. The Muslims are doing their best to set up one, and it would be a Dark Age if they would bring theirs about. Then you've got the Charismatics who are into dominionism. You've got Ted Cruz and his dad and those involved with him, Glenn Beck, etc. They're into a kind of post-millennialism. A better term is dominionism. And it's all just as false as it can be. Absolutely false. Utterly dangerous. You are talking. Here's what you're talking about. I'll go to the Bible in just a moment. You're talking about setting up a worldwide theocracy. You know what a theocracy is? A group of religious people that would control the world and demand everybody to come under their authority. And I've heard them. I've done a lot of research on this, friend, and I know what I'm talking about. They are a bunch of dangerous people. They are a bunch of dangerous people. From Benny Hinn, Rick Joyner. I mean, you can, and Rick Warren's part of that too. And you can go to all of that. It's as dangerous as hell. It's as dangerous as hell. Do you hear me? Oh, please listen to me and get in your Bible and then get on the internet and learn what they're saying. Learn what they are proposing. Learn what they're thinking. If that don't scare you and make you long for just a good old-fashioned church with the gospel, preaching the coming of the Lord, preaching the pre-tribulation rapture, preaching the coming of an Antichrist. You know, the Holy Ghost has never said, in all these years I've been a Christian, never said, watch for the Antichrist. It's always, look up for Jesus Christ. Look up for Jesus Christ. And believe me, he's coming. Now, I want you to get in the middle of this, and I want to hear any question you got. I want people who are on the other side of this fence and are believing that other side to call and let me help you. I'll give you a chance to share a moment, just a moment. And you're calling here to ask questions, not to teach my people. All my family listening to this broadcast is my responsibility. And I've got to teach them. I've got to tell them when someone is saying something that's wrong on this program and then show them what the Bible says. But I want to give you these five things that this post-millennialism or dominionism. Listen to me now. Dominionism. Let me tell you what they believe. Number one, they believe in setting up a worldwide theocracy. A worldwide theocracy. Number two, they really believe replacement theology. They're taking the place of the Jews, and they're going to do what the Jews thought they were going to do in the Old Testament. But what Jesus and both the Jews and the Christians are going to do when the right moment comes. But they believe they've replaced Israel. Anybody that tells you they believe in dominionism and then says they are not anti-Israel is lying to you. Do you hear me? They are lying to you. They are anti-Israel. Now, they may not fight against those people, those few million people who are now Jews and live in Israel, but they deny their biblical position. They deny their prophetic future. They deny what they are going to be and do when they are converted to the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's replacement theology. Very dangerous, very dangerous. Israel has no prophetic future. They've taken it. Now, number three, Jerusalem will not be the capital of their millennial kingdom. I presume it will be Rome. I've never heard them say where they expect to establish it, but it won't be Jerusalem if they do it. It'll be only Jerusalem if Jesus does it. And Jesus will not do it until after the seven-year tribulation period. After the rapture, of course, the seven-year tribulation period, his return to fight the battle of Armageddon. Well, Armageddon has been part of the theological picture of the church for generations. And yet I presume today nobody much in that crowd at least teach it at all. But that great battle of Armageddon is coming. The Son of God riding that white horse. We, the saints of God behind him on white horses. What a day. Are you aware of what we've got in front of us? Did you know if the rapture would take place today in approximately 7 years, and there could be a little distance, a little time between the rapture and the beginning of the 7 years, but it won't be much. If there's any, you know, I don't even know that there's any, but if there's a little, it won't be much. And then 7 year tribulation period, while 7 year marriage supper is taking place in heaven, and then we'll be back. Watch out, devil, we'll be back. Watch out, all you ungodly folks. We'll be back. Watch out, all of you worshipers of these false doctrines. We'll be back. I'm telling you, the saints of God will come back with Jesus. Do you hear me? Well, let's go on. Then there will be a 7 year tribulation period. We know after the rapture, they don't believe that. No tribulation period, no Antichrist. I've read Rick Joyner's stuff about all of this, and it's just a hodgepodge of foolishness. A hodgepodge of foolishness. Nobody is any worse in this than Rick Joyner. He is really, I told him to his face, he's full of demons. I told him to his face. He was full of demons. I really did. Now listen, Jesus does not return to set up a millennial kingdom. The religious crowd will bring him back when they set up the millennial kingdom. That's what they think. Well, they all wet. Let me go to the Bible now. Why don't you go with me to one of the greatest, let's read one you're familiar with, okay? Listen to this, Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of his increase, of his government, notice now, there shall be no end. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom to order it, and to establish it, and with judgment, and with justice, and from henceforth even forever, the zeal of the Lord has spoken this. Now the Jews did not accept Jesus as Messiah because he didn't fulfill that. He was crucified instead of taking over the government. And so they rejected him. But the Bible makes us know why, because that period of time between then and now would be the church age, the church dispensation. And so now we're coming to the end of the church dispensation, so we go right back to this. And Jesus is going to accomplish what this scripture said he was. The Bible makes it plain, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom to order it, and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? Do you hear that? And it's coming. It's coming now. Let me give you another picture that Isaiah and it's beautiful. Listen carefully. Isaiah 65, verses 17. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem, and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be heard no more in her, nor the voice of crying. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall be 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. And that's the millennial reign. That's coming. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. But as the days of a tree are the days of my people. But as the days of a tree are the days of my people. And mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. Now, that millennial kingdom is coming, a golden kingdom, a biblical golden kingdom. Can you think of anything more wonderful than Jesus coming to reign on this earth, put an end to all this foolishness and this blasphemy, all of this crazy ideas of men that they are going to build a kingdom? Do you realize how many efforts have been made to build a kingdom? Hitler thought he could build a kingdom. Alexander the Great thought he could build a kingdom. I mean, over and over through the ages, we've had people who were determined to build a worldwide kingdom. My dear friend, I want you to know the only worldwide kingdom will be his kingdom. And Jesus will sit on the throne of David and rule from Jerusalem now. From Jerusalem, the Jews will inhabit the land of Israel. The Christians will inhabit all the rest of the earth and rule with Christ the kingdoms of the earth. The Jews rule in Jerusalem and that political sphere, and the Christians rule in the rest of the world and all those political spheres. And it'll be 1,000 years of absolute peace. The righteousness of the Lord will cover the earth, the Bible says, like the waters cover the sea. Are you getting ready for that kingdom? See, we ought to be a people who are so excited about our future. So excited about our future. The theme of this new book I'm writing on Apostle Paul is a passionate thirst for the future. That's what Paul had. That's why he was so devoted in his Jewish effort as a rabbi in the Pharisee world. And then once he was converted to Christ, he became equally the excited one on the Christian side in the church world, and preached this glorious gospel. Wrote about half of the New Testament, 13 books out of 27. Friend, do you understand? We are one blessed people, and our future is set with excitement and joy and happiness. It is going to be a marvelous day, and I can hardly wait. I don't know about you. I can hardly wait. I'm going to be part of that kingdom. Are you going to be part of it? Are you willing to give yourself to it? Well, there's so much happening here, and I know I've got to give you the call, the phone numbers. Call us, please, 1-800. This is our toll-free number, all of America and Canada, 1-800-338-7884. And then local, all over this area, use the local number as much as you will, please. That doesn't cost us anything. If you're in this area, it costs you nothing. If you have a cell phone, it costs you nothing anyway. 704-391-0588. Now, my ladies will take no calls that they don't either see a name or a phone number on the screen. They will take no calls if they don't see a phone number or a name on the screen. If you call on a cell phone and all they see is cell phone, they will not answer. Okay, so grab a regular phone or get a phone that will tell us the number, because of people who are determined to hinder and destroy this broadcast. We cannot take numbers that we don't have names in front of us. Okay, so grab your phone, 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588. Okay, grab your phone. I want to hear from you. I will do my best to answer your questions today to the very best of my ability, okay? I'm getting the email list up here so I can take your emails. I want to hear from you. Well, why did I get what I got? That doesn't look like what I'm supposed to have. So let me see if I can find me here and get the email. Well, here we go. Here we go. Now, I want to hear from you. You are very important to me. I see questions already coming in. I'm glad to have you. JRC@paulcreek.org. JRC@paulcreek.org. Okay? That's email. I will read them on the air as much as I can, as many as I'm able. And then I'll take the calls. I always prefer the telephone. I like to talk to you. I like to hear the charming sounds of your voice, okay? 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588 in the toll-free now, 1-800-338-7884. Now, I want to give you this booklet on the biblical golden kingdom. It's very large. It is full of good information, and you will have a study that you can do. It'll be like this, thick covers and all. You will have a study that you can do. You can do it with your Sunday school class. You can do it with your Bible study group in your home. You can do it, you as a preacher can use it as an outline for a sermon or a Bible study on Wednesday night. You can make copies of it. I'm telling you, get a copy and make 100 copies, 1,000 copies. Give them to everybody you know. I'm delighted. We're not selfish. We're not selfish, I promise you. We want this news out there everywhere. It's old-fashioned news. It's biblical news. It's solid theology. It's been tried through the ages. Hallelujah. This is the thing that Billy Graham preached. The same thing that the great preachers of the past have preached. I mean it. It's very, very good material. And I want you to have it. And I want you to dig in. And just remember, the Bible is still the final word. All these new things, they are just new things. But they have no value. I'm telling you, we want the truth, don't we? We want the truth. Well, let me take a while you're calling. Okay, grab your phones now. The lines are open. The lines are open. Do not keep those women sitting in there doing nothing. I want them busy. So grab your phone. 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. And then local 704-391-391-0588. Can you read? Can you read? If you can read, you need a copy of this. If you'll say, I want a copy from my pastor, you can get two copies, okay? So grab your phone. Let's don't wait. The lines are open. Right now, they're standing by to take your call. So grab your phone. Give us a call. Let us send you a copy. Tell them if you want to speak to me, and they'll put you on hold, and I'll grab it, and I'll be right there to talk to you. And they can hear you out there and me. I don't tell people your name. I don't do anything to embarrass nobody. We're here for the good of the kingdom and for the glory of his cause. Now, the millennium. Who will be on earth during the millennium? Will it include Christians taken up in the rapture? And any people born during the millennium who do not follow Christ? Well, let me tell you who will be here during the millennium. Everybody that doesn't get killed or die during the 7-year tribulation period will still be on the earth. So there'll be sinners. There'll be people who don't know God. There'll be people who've been heathen in the background. But they will know then what has occurred, and they will know that Jesus Christ is ruling on this earthly kingdom. And they'll be required to go up to Jerusalem at given times and participate and truly show their faith in Christ. Those are people who are not even saved. There'll be some people who get saved after the end of the 7-year tribulation period, maybe right there at the final moments, whatever, that will be here. Okay, they'll be here. So there'll be wicked people and then people who've gotten faith in their hearts during the very end of the 7-year tribulation period. And then we saints of God who were raptured. The saints of God who were raptured will come back with Christ, and the saints will rule the world. The saints will be priests and governors and kings and city mayors and councilmen and members of the supreme courts. I mean, we, the church, the people of God, under Christ, will rule the world and set up a theocracy. A biblical theocracy on the whole earth, and that theocracy will last 1,000 years. And Jesus will be at the helm of that theocracy. So you'll have the saints of God that have been raptured coming back with Christ reigning 1,000 years. And then you'll have natural people, and there'll be multitudes born all during that 1,000 years. The earth will be repopulated to some great degree during that 1,000 years. And that's why the devil will be loose at the end of the 1,000 years and allowed to tempt those people who were born during the 1,000 years. Who've never made a choice, never had to make a choice. They will have to make a choice at the end of the 1,000 years. I hope you understand that. I'm doing my best to explain it to you in a way that you can understand. Now, dominion theology. Many say Cruz is dominionist. yet I see no dominionism from him or his statements or his on Christianity. Am I missing something he said himself? Let me tell you, I've never heard him say he was a dominionist. But he rules and moves with nothing but dominionists in his spiritual realm. His dad is absolutely, I mean, I've heard him preach it. He's a dominionist to the core. And then with Glenn Beck and with other leaders of the charismatic world, and they've tried to kind of keep that, you know, from being really known. But I don't think there's any question. You can look at Ted Cruz. You can watch him. You can listen to him if you have any bit of spiritual discernment, and you can tell something's wrong. But from the beginning, I say something's wrong. Something's wrong. And then I begin to listen, I begin to dig, I begin to research. There's no question, Ted Cruz is a dominionist. Now, he can still run for president as long as his citizenship is intact. And I presume it is. I know there's a lot of questions, but I won't get into that argument because I don't know. I don't have that detail. But he has a right to run for president. And you have a right to know what he believes and whether to vote for him or not. And I'm telling you, not in 1,000 years would I vote for him. No way I can. Really, no way I can. What would happen if he gets the nominee? I don't know. I'll make that decision down the road. I certainly would do my best to stop Hillary. But, you know, it's just a real bad place to be in. I'm telling you, it's a bad place to be in. And I said last week that Donald Trump with his sins will make a much better president than Ted Cruz with his religion. And I mean that. I believe that. And then you can ask me anything you want to ask me. You can tell me I'm crazy. There'll be plenty of people probably agree with you. All right, grab your phone. I want to hear from you. The lines are still open, and you are not talking. You are not saying anything. I'm not hearing from you. Grab your phone. Hey, do you believe in a golden biblical millennium? Do you believe in a 1,000-year reign of Christ on this earth? Maybe you've never been taught it. Most preachers don't preach these kind of great truths. They won't even study them on Wednesday night because the preacher don't know them either. I just got a call from out in the Midwest wanting me to preach a 3-night meeting very shortly. I've committed to do it because they said the Pentecostal world are to a great degree mid-tribulationist people. Jesus doesn't come to the middle of the tribulation. That's a terrible doctrine. I believe with all my heart you can't call it anything but heresy. It is just plain wrong. And if you're teaching those doctrines, you're swiftly moving into a world of the darkness of this age. Now, Christianity is not a religion, but a personal, loving relationship with Jesus Christ. Hey, I like that. I believe that with all my heart. Christianity is not just a religion. It's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Do these worldly religions have 22 chapters of detail? Do these worldly religions have 22 chapters of detailed revelation? Well, yeah, I guess they do if they read it. I don't know how to answer that question, Harley. But yes, everybody has the book of Revelation. I mean, it's right there, the last book in the Bible. All you got to do is read it and believe it. If you read Revelation and just take it literal, that's all you got to do. It'll solve your problems with most false doctrines, and you'll know what is right and what is true. Now, the lines are still open. Now, where are you, my friends? Grab your phone. I want to answer your question. I want you to disagree with me if you disagree with me. I really do. So I can help you because I'm your friend. And I want you to have this booklet. Very important for the ladies to get your call and to be able to send you this wonderful booklet on the biblical golden kingdom. The biblical golden kingdom. Now, everybody out there, let's get this line. Let's get this program busy. I don't think there's been any blackouts of the program today. Somebody will have to tell me because I can't watch that. I'm too busy here trying to have a great broadcast and answer questions and respond to either the internet or to you. You are very important to me. Now grab your phone. I want to hear from you. I really do want to hear from you. You are on the air. May I help you, please?
Pastor Chambers, I have a question for you.
Okay, I hope I have an answer.
Millennium, you talked about the millennium, but some time ago you said that the average age would be about 300 years. So
average age for who, Bob?
Huh?
An average age for who?
For the people that live in the millennium.
I said there'd be an average age of 300 years. I don't remember saying that. I don't know what the age will be. The spiritual people have immortal bodies, so they won't die. The church comes back with immortal, glorified bodies living forever.
I'm talking about the ones that are
the natural people.
The
Bible says, the Bible says that the age of a person will be the age of a tree. Now, what is the age of a normal tree?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't either. So I don't know what the age will be. I don't remember ever saying. I don't propose to guess because there's nothing in the Bible to tell me.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I thought then somebody else might have said it.
I presume somebody else said it, but I have no idea what the average age of a person in the millennium. I would suggest that some people will live the whole 1,000 years.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I mean, it will be as it was in the days of Noah. You know, Noah was 900 and something. You know, so you know, whatever a person is born, whatever their age might be, but all of that we'll just have to let it play out in the end. Is all I know. Thank you for calling, George.
All right, and God bless you.
God bless you, George. I appreciate your call. I love it very, very much. I wish everybody out there would call and ask any question on your mind. That was from California. How about from the other states of the Union? How about from Canada? How about anywhere in the world? Call and ask your question. Call and let me try to help you understand dominionism and its darkness and the truth. See, dominionism is they're going to set up the kingdom on the earth and reign now. See, you understand? They're going to set up the kingdom on the earth and reign now. That's dominionism. They're going to set up the kingdom and they're going to reign on the earth and set up a theocracy and take over the government of the world. That's what they plan. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, Reverend Chambers. I've got a question for you.
I hope I can answer.
Revelation chapter 22, verse 2, talks about the tree of life.
Yes.
And it says in the last part of that verse, and the leaves, not the fruit, the leaves of the tree of life were for the healing of the nations. If everybody has a glorified body, one, why would they need a healing? And two, who are these nations?
Well, the nations will be the saved people who did not reach the reward of brideship. There will be a great number of people in the bride of Christ. They will live in the city of New Jerusalem. The people who are saved but did not receive the reward of brideship, they will live in the kingdoms on the earth. Nations, many nations all over the earth. A new heaven and a new earth full of people. And the people who are on the earth who did not earn the great reward of brideship will live in the kingdoms of the earth. Now the Bible makes that plain. Let's go and read that so that nobody doubts it. You know, it's so important that we get what this Bible says and stay in the scripture. I hope I can find that. It says, I'm looking. I don't have it marked in my new Bible. You know, I get a new Bible, and it aggravates me because I got to go through and try to mark everything, and I don't get around to it, and then it takes me a while, and then just like today, you know, I need that scripture, and I don't have it. Let me see. And the nation, here it is, verse 24. 21, 24. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. That's the city. The nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. That's the city. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. Now, you can't doubt that. That's the word of God. And it makes it plain that there'll be just multitudes of saved people who did not earn the right to be part of the bride. I've got to be part of the bride. I'm giving everything I got to be part of that bride. Apostle Paul said he was reaching for that prize himself, forgetting everything behind. He said, I pressed to the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ. This is the high calling. Those who inherit the city of New Jerusalem, those who don't inherit the city of Jerusalem, missed the high calling, but they were saved by the blood and by the grace of Jesus Christ. They lived for him and served him, but not with that degree of utter abandonment as Apostle Paul was seeking, as you can seek, as I'm seeking. I've got to be part of that bride. Now, you ask the second question. These people who on the earth, do they need healing? Well, see, I believe that tree of life is a symbolic picture. Yeah, see, much of the book of Revelation has symbolisms in it. And I believe the tree of life is symbolic of Christ. And Christ is our eternal person. And so we live by him through all the ages. And he gives us eternal life. And so the leaves of the nation are the healing, not in the sense that they need healing because they're sick, but in the sense of eternal life that dwells in them. So I believe the tree of life represents Jesus Christ, and everybody of the universe will live by him for eternity.
Okay, so you're saying you think there will be people resurrected from the dead who will not get glorified bodies?
No, I didn't say they wouldn't get glorified bodies. I said they wouldn't be in the city, in the bride, and dwell in the city of New Jerusalem.
Well, it don't seem like if they got a glorified body, they wouldn't have any need for healing ever again.
We aren't talking about healing. We're talking about life. We're talking about eternal life that is in Christ that will fill these eternal glorified souls forever. He isn't suggesting they'll be sick. He is just promising eternal life in them because of Christ. We will live by the life of Christ forever. We are redeemed by the life of Christ. We'll be glorified by the life of Christ. We'll have eternal life by the life of Christ. So that's all he's saying. Is our eternal life will be Christ, and that tree of life represents Christ.
Okay. Thank you, Reverend Chambers.
I'm delighted, and God bless you. Now give us a call, 1-800-338-7884. I want to hear from you. I want you to ask you. Those were good questions. They really were. And especially that last one, the tree of life. That's always been a controversy with people. And they get that. No, you mean that people need healing in eternity? No. He's talking about eternal life dwelling in us. And because of that, we don't need healing. We don't need nothing because we've got eternal life that dwells in us forever. Hallelujah. I mean forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Forever. I'm talking about forever, my dear friend. And you can have it. You can have it. Now grab your phone. I want to hear from you. You are important. Here's another question here on Cruz. Even if Cruz does follow Dominion theology, why is that worse than Donald Trump or Hillary, who seem to not follow anything? Well, that's something everybody has to answer for themselves. Hillary Clinton, I mean, you know what she's been. You know what Barack Obama's been. You know she is a continuation of the worst of Barack Obama. You know how she feels about abortion. You know she says that even a child right before they're born from mother's womb has no constitutional rights. I mean, you can't hear all of that without understanding Hillary. Now, Cruz is a different story. He is seemingly conservative, but as I've watched him, I'm amazed at some of the stuff that's going on in his campaign. I'm amazed at some of the things they are saying. I'm amazed. It's a confused world to me, and I don't know how much of it is true and how much of it is wrong. But I believe that Donald Trump, not being a Christian, just like Ronald Reagan was not a Christian when he became president. I think he became one later. I believe that Donald Trump is a man who will be faithful for America. And some of the people endorsing him, like Jerry Falwell Jr., like Sarah Palin, like Jeff Sessions, and there's been numbers of others. I hear that the next one will probably be the great mayor of New York during the 9/11 time, who is a very, very strong man, not a conservative, but a very strong man individually. I just believe he's the best thing running. And I'm not here to brag for him. That's who am I planning to vote for. And I think Cruz is dangerous with his post-millennialism. Are they going to try to set up a kingdom on the earth while he's president? Is his White House going to be full of the Rick Warrens and the Rick Joyners and the Kenneth Copelands and the Benny Hinns and all of that charismatic crowd? I've studied that crowd for years, and I'm here to tell you, they are one worldly bunch. They are one godless bunch. All they want is big mansions and all kinds of things to satisfy their worldly appetites. And I understand that world. I do understand that world. And that's where Ted Cruz is, without a question. And so it's dangerous. Well, let's go on. You can call 1-800. Hey, if you don't call and ask the question, don't feel bad at me if I've said something you don't believe in. And if you don't call in, disagree with me, don't feel bad about something I believe that you don't agree with. Let me hear from you. Call. Be honest. Stand up for what you believe. Stand up for what you don't understand or about what you don't understand. Stand up to learn the truth. Grab your phone. 1-800-338-7884. 704-391-0588. 391-0588. Remember, 704-391-0588. The ladies are standing by. I want you to have this booklet. I want everybody out there to have that booklet. I really do. We are sending material all over the world. We have so many people that love what we're doing. We are so grateful. If you're one of us and you enjoy our sermons and that's where you get your spiritual life, then we want you to be part of us in finances, be part of us in meeting the budget, be part of us in doing this job that we're doing, because we're dedicated into giving our all. Now, I want every line busy right now. Every one of you out there, grab your phone and let's hear from you. 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. 1 week from today, well, yesterday, we're having a big youth meeting, a big youth crusade. A big youth crusade. You can go on the Facebook and find it. I don't know whether it's on the web or not, but I know you can call right here and they'll send you a flyer. If you're interested, your young people are interested, your juniors are interested, your teenagers are interested, your young adults are interested. We have some very dear people that will be part of us. Some very dear people that will be part of us, and we would like for you. We would like for you. I was supposed to really announce this big, and I don't have the flyer in front of me. I don't know where it is. I have a hard time keeping up with everything because I got so many things happening in my life. I hope you understand that. I'm busy. I love this new book I'm writing. I can't wait until you can have a copy of it. I cannot wait. I cannot wait. The title will be From Cobblestone Streets to Streets of Gold. The theme is Apostle Paul, A Passionate Thirst for the Future. A Passionate Thirst for the Future. Got 5 chapters written. That's the preparation. Now I'm fixing to start on the birth of Paul. That period of probably 4 or 5 chapters is entitled Little Feet on Cobblestone Streets. Little Feet on Cobblestone Streets. I really like that. I really do. I love words. I love using them rightly. And I want you to learn. I want you to have this book on Apostle Paul. I'm believing God is going to use it in a fashion that's going to be wonderful. We need a revival in America. And there's nothing we need like to get back and just preach the old-fashioned gospel. Paul said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom I'm crucified unto the world and the world unto me. I love that statement. It's been real in my life. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross. The cross. The cross of Christ. I'm saved by the cross. You can only be saved by the cross. And nobody out there has to be lost. You can know the saving merits of Jesus Christ. You can know the saving merits of Jesus Christ. It'll change your life. I promise you, it'll change your life. You'll never be the same. I'm going to play that song I started with all over again. I'm going to start at the front of it and play the whole of that song again at the end of this broadcast. And while it's playing, why don't you get on your knees somewhere and give your life to Christ. Confess your sins. Repent of them. Ask Him to forgive you by the power of His blood. and then believe him to come into your life and take dominion. Now, he can only take dominion of your life when you give it to him. Give him your life. Give him all you are. Give him your total person. Give him everything you represent. Let him take charge of your life and wonderfully forgive your sins and wash you from your sins and your guilt and give you a new nature, and make you his. I want you to be saved. I want every one of you out there to know what it means to be saved. Do you understand? When you are truly born again and are new creatures in Christ, you will be a person like you've never been, and you'll find joy, wonderful joy in all of your life. Now, I've got 18 minutes, and I want to hear from you. I'm going to pray in a moment for America. I'm going to pray in a moment for the right person to win that presidency. And I'm going to pray for God to help every one of us on our knees to ask God to give us direction and inspiration. He will help us if we will let him. America's in a terrible shape. America's in a death struggle. Do you hear me? America's in a death struggle. We're in a passionate struggle for existence. If this election goes wrong, America could well be over as far as an experiment of independent people loving being free, loving being free. And you realize what's happening right now here in North Carolina, how we've got all kinds of political powers, PayPal being one of them, that says we're not going to come to Charlotte and 400 people we were going to hire, PayPal now, PayPal, you hear me? They're in Cuba, they're in all kinds of places that are... Oh, well, what a compromise. And yet, they won't leave North Carolina and not be here because we don't let homosexuals and lesbians go in the opposite bathrooms because our state legislators and our governor signed a bill to stop right here in Charlotte, in the airport, from a pedophile. A pedophile, possibly. Maybe not all of them are pedophiles, but many of them are. But these people who are transvestites, that means they say they are men when they're really women. And they say they're women when they're really men. And they think that's something that they have the right to make some kind of decision of. It's evil. It's evil to the core. And then to think that they can use public bathrooms and walk in where there's a bunch of men or a bunch of women. And friend, it's going to get worse than that. It's going to get worse than that if we don't stop it where it's at. It's going to take over. And that's why you can't vote for Hillary and you can't vote for Sanders. That's your right, of course. You can do what you please. But I'm just telling you what they represent. And you need to remember that. You need to remember that. We are desperate in the Republican Party. If they don't leave one of these two men alone and quit trying to do everything they can to stop them, they hate Trump. The media hates Trump. That's because he will win big time. I believe that. I believe that. And I believe he'll rule in a very constitutional, conservative manner. But that's yet to be seen. I don't know. I can't think of anything can be worse. Can you imagine anything worse that's coming down the pipes? Hey, get yourself ready. Get yourself ready now, your calls. I want to spend this time talking about the Bible, the biblical golden kingdom. Do you understand that? Do you believe that? Now, let me promise you what I'm going to do next Saturday. This is on my heart. Next Saturday, I want to do a program on divine healing. America is in a terrible condition for its insurance, as far as the medical situation, as far as all kinds of infirmities and diseases and pestilence and all kinds of things that are destroying the health of American people. Drugs, I mean, you got it. It's out there, as much of it. And I'm telling you, divine healing is a real promise of the Bible. You can be divinely healed. You can be divinely healed. And so next Saturday, we're going to have a great program on that. And now you're on the air. May I help you, please? Oh, well, I thought they said, yeah, line one is open. Let's see if they can get it back on here. Line one, is anybody there? All right, are you there? May I help you, please? Are you there? May I help you, please? All right, we lost them. Call back, my friend. I don't know what happened, but when I came on, it was busy. So call quickly, please. Line one, line two, line three, line four. I'd like to have all four lines added up. Lined up. And I'll take them one at a time because I've got 15 minutes. We're talking about the biblical golden kingdom. How many of you want to go in the rapture? You want to be with Jesus 7 years at the great marriage supper of the Lamb. And then you want to come back with him on white horses and fight the battle of Armageddon and set up the kingdom on this earth. That's a decision you've got to make. If you don't make it now, I mean now, I don't know, today, tomorrow. If you don't make that decision, I'm going to live a born-again life. I'm going to live for Christ. I'm going to be an old-fashioned Bible Christian. When that rapture comes, I'm going. I'm going to be ready, washed in the blood, living a clean life, a pure life. I'm going with Jesus. I'm going to be in that marriage supper 7 years. Then I'm coming back to fight the battle of Armageddon with Christ. And then I'm going to help him reign on this earth for 1,000 years. I am so excited about my future. I am so excited. I will never forget, somewhere about 1962, I was at a big conference in Kannapolis, North Carolina. It was at the old Elm Street Church of God. Old Elm Street Church of God. 62 now. I've been saved about 10, 11 years, maybe 63. And a man by the name of Cato was speaking. And in this conference, he made this great statement. I remember nothing else he said. But he said that Jewish people are characterized by a passionate thirst for the future. A passionate thirst for the future. And I'll never forget it. I've lived by that these years. A passionate thirst for the future. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yeah, Brother Joe, thank the Lord for you that you're trying to tell everybody and warn everybody of what lies ahead. And I was wanting to know, what scripture is it where you were seeing a thing you heard you a week or so ago about when you see the Lord appear? What's that scripture where you're looking for the Lord and he's appearing? What is that? You know what I don't...
Ooh, man, you're saying something, but I don't hear scripture in it. The Bible says, unto them that look for him shall he appear. Is that it?
That's it.
Unto him that look for him, the book of James, I think it is. So let me try to take you there real quick. The book of James, I probably don't have it marked yet. And that's the case so often for me. When I get a new Bible, I got to go through and mark them. I wish I could just plain remember every place in this Bible and every scripture in this Bible, but I'm just not quite that smart yet. Well, I don't remember. Unto them that look for him, unto them that look for him, unto them that look for him, looking for and hastening unto the coming. Wait a minute. Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, when the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. That's not the one you're asking about, and I'm not finding it, and I'm sorry for that. Somebody call right quick and tell me where that scripture is. Unto them that look for him shall he appear. Unto them that look for him. That's the scripture, and somebody will call and give it to me. I just got a new Bible, and all these things are not marked. But we'll get it to you, okay?
Well, thank you, sir.
Are you looking for him?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
God bless you, sir. I'll get a call quickly on that. Unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. I think that's supposed to be in 1st or 2nd Peter. I'm anxious to find it myself. Because
I love you, Steve.
God bless you and God bless your heart. Thank you. Hey, call us quickly, friends. Don't want to waste a minute. These are wonderful scriptures. And I just love to get in here and deal with them. And forgive me when I don't find something right quick, because I got a new Bible. And I'm just marking I'm just trying my best to get it all marked up again where I know where everything is. You say, don't you know? No. 66 books, all these pages. I got a good view of it, but I cannot remember where every verse is that I love. But that is a good one. It's a shame that I didn't remember it immediately. But you'll forgive me. You're not going to hold that against me, because we will find it. Who's calling going real quick to tell me where it's at? That would be grand. Where are you at, friends? Call 1-800-338-7884. Let me tell you, imminently, Jesus is coming. Imminently, Jesus is coming. Any minute now, the Son of God will appear. the Son of God will appear and gloriously will be called. Can you imagine hearing a trumpet sound in the sky? I mean, a trumpet that the world hears, a trumpet that the world hears. I believe every sinner will hear it. I believe everybody will hear it. And I believe the sinners will be shaken to the very core of their being when they hear it. They will never get over it once they hear it, because they will, if they're not right with God, they'll be scared to death. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yeah, I found a scripture just looking for, I believe. And it's in 1 John and the 3rd chapter.
The 1 John and the 3rd chapter.
Yeah, behold, what manner of love the Father has showed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. And my Father did. Therefore, the world knoweth us not.
Now, that is not the scripture. I'm sorry, but that is a good scripture, okay? Call us quickly, 1-800-338-7884. We will have that scripture for you. You need it very much. Everybody needs to remember it. Unto them that look for him. Unto them that look for him. Here comes the answer, probably. I heard it ringing. You know, it's amazing studying the Bible. Oh, Hebrews 9:28. Did you hear the voice of my jewel? Did you hear the voice of my jewel? I'm telling you, that's my darling. I'm so glad she had to come in here. 9:28. Let us read it together. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Listen now, Hebrews 9:28. And unto them that look for him shall he appear. Unto him that look for him. Hebrews. Wow. Hey, get your marker. You know, this is, I love taking the Bible, and I've worn out, I think, 15 Bibles in 64 years I've worn out. I got three laying right over there on top of one another. I mean, I just wear them out until I got to have a new Bible, because I got to start over, because I mark things, and when I mark them, you know, some I write all in them. This one I'm not writing in. I made up my mind, wasn't going to write in it, because it gets me so I can't find what I'm looking for. But I got that mark now, and I won't forget after that moment of me being embarrassed because I didn't remember. Hebrews 9:28, unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Now, you got 7 minutes, and you don't want to waste it. And I want you with all of my heart. I want you to hear. I want you to have your question answered. I'm sorry. I want you to have your question answered. I want you to know that rapture is about to take place. I want you to know that. I want you to know Jesus is returning momentarily. I mean, any moment now, he could come. Any moment now, he could come. And there's millions of you out there. You're not ready. You're so busy having a pleasure trip, going here and going there, loving the things of the world. The Bible said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I just don't love this world. I love people, and I love beautiful things that the world has a lot of. And you know, I loved going to Turkey, and I love writing this new book to bless you. Nobody's ever written a book and went back and studied every bit of Apostle Paul's life, but I've done my best to do that for you, for the church world. I'm 80, and I have to read with a magnifying glass most of what I read. You say, Brother Chambers, you're writing a book, and you got to read with a magnifying glass everything that's not about 16 size print. I do. I can't help it. You know, it's just, I'm 80, but I tell you what, I'm on labor till the sun sets. I'm telling you, till Jesus comes. You're on the air. May I help you, please?
Brother Chambers, I'm riding along in the car, but I'm doing this from memory. How about Titus 2:13?
How about what?
Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior.
Oh, that's good. Titus 2:13. That's not the one he was asking for. We just read it in Hebrews 9:28. But Titus 2:13, let me read that. Wait a minute, 2:13. What you said, 2:13. Let me find it. Did you say Titus 2:13?
Or 11, 12, and 13.
All right, got you. I got you. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live holy, we should live soberly, rightly, and godly in this present world, looking for and hastening unto the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. This Bible is so full of the hope of His coming. It's so full of the promise of that glorious appearing, the blessed hope. I'm here to tell you, it's full of it. If you don't understand it, you need to come to understand it, because it is rich and it is real and it will change your life. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
God bless you. Any other question? You know, I get answering people's question and I forget that they're still on the line. Hey, that goes with age. Do you understand? You understand? God bless you. Hey, this has been a good program. And I want to hear from every one of my friends of Open Bible Dialogue. 42 years we've been here doing this. 1974 to right now, which is 42 years. And man, what a time I've had. Over half of my life, and my little darling in there, over half of our life, we've been laboring here together. Can you believe? She's right here with me, 81. I have to meet her at the car. She has to use her cane. Her feet and legs are giving her a fit because she's been a diabetic since she was 18 years old, taking insulin all these 60-some years. And yet she's, you know, right here with her husband. And we're just in love together and labor together and love one another with everything in us. Believe me, that woman and I love one another. I don't know how she's loved me all these years. I mean, can you imagine? Do you ever pray for her? I mean, pray for her that she has to take care of me. You know, it's been wonderful, though. I tell you, I hope she's going to be highly rewarded. I've always said when we get to heaven, her mansion will be at least twice as big as mine. At least twice as big as mine. And she will deserve it. She will deserve it. Believe me, every bit of it. And I thank God for that. And I want you to have a mansion. I want you to be part of the bride. I don't want you just to be saved and live in the nations of the earth. I want you to be part of the bride. And only you can earn that. I mean, the rewards, the Bible is full of the idea of rewards. Rewards, rewards, everything we do, every man will be rewarded according to his works. The Bible says that over and over, over and over. Well, if the city of New Jerusalem is not one of those rewards, then what is it? Of course it's one of the rewards. The Bible makes it plain it is. And I've got to live in that city. I said on the phone many times, I want to live on the 12th story. And people say, why do you want to live on the 12th story? That's the amethyst. That's got to be grand up there. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? That's got to be grand up there. Hey, would you call and get a copy of this now? Please, everybody out there, call and get a copy of this. 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, sir. I was just looking up that script you was asking for earlier about unto them who wait or look for him in the great appearing. I remember it was Hebrews 9:28.
Yes, yeah, you. We just got it a while ago, and I'm sure people are going to enjoy it. That's what my desire is. And thank you for calling. You living for Jesus, okay?
Yes, sir. Hold on one second.
All right. What's your question? I got to go. Time's up.
My question is, I hear people say, once saved, always saved. Is what the biblical word behind that?
Well, it's just not biblical, that's all. All you got to do is go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, and you will find the answer. 9:27, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. God bless you, sir. Keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. Hey. Hey, you're wonderful. You're wonderful. You love me? I love you. Hey, I want to hear from you. I want you in the middle of this. I want you in the middle of this. I really do. Hallelujah. You're wonderful. You're wonderful. I love you. I got to go.
protected from the tempest as the waves grew higher. Sheltered from a desert, dusty and dry. I was given a drink of water when I thought I would die. Delivered from the danger of a dark lion's den. Given new life in exchange for my sin. Set free, forgiven, I've been born again. My brother, I have been rescued. Well, I have been saved from the flames of a hot burning fire. Lifted from the tempest as the waves grew higher. Sheltered from a desert, dusty and dry. I was given a drink of water when I thought I would die. Delivered from the danger of a dark lion's den. Given new life in exchange for my sin. Set free, forgiven, I've been born again. My brother, I have been rescued. Set free, forgiven, I've been born again.